Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is such a blessing to be here today in this house and worship you, Lord. We just want to be thinking of those Christians scattered around this world that are not so fortunate and have a rough time, or maybe persecuted, just to come together like we are this day. We lift them up, Lord. We also lift up the folks that are on our prayer list and all of those different situations, Lord. We lift up the families that are hurting from the death of a loved one and they're in mourning. We think of them this day. We also think of the people in North Carolina, California, and so many places elsewhere on this globe that suffer from natural disasters, Lord. And we just pray for them. And we are so thankful that our team has returned safely from its work in North Carolina, and we are grateful for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, it's great to be here this morning and to see all of you. If you're looking forward to hearing from Liz Nephew about her mission trip to Honduras, that will be after, hopefully after the service here today, and before our potluck time, so I would encourage you all to stay for that and listen to Liz and what she is hoping to accomplish down in Honduras. So yeah, it's a great day. You know, our team's back from North Carolina, and I know they had an exciting time because my youngest daughter went along, and normally she's fairly reserved and doesn't have a lot to say, but there was quite a bit of talking going on last night. So I know there was some exciting times there, and I would encourage you all to come back in a, of course, come back every week, but come back in a couple of weeks and hear their report about what they accomplished. But today, we get to talk about fasting. Wow, you know, you all look real excited about this topic. Yes, fasting. You know, we've been going through this series, Let Us Pray. You know, Darren started off and he worked us through the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew and what Jesus said leading up to that, and that was great stuff. And then last week, Sean told us all about forgiveness and how we needed to do that so that we also could be forgiven. And today, Jesus finishes off this little section talking about fasting. So if you all could get your Bibles ready, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And normally I use the ESV version, and you'll notice that whenever any of us are up here, we all have our favorite versions, and I like the ESV recently. Darren, he loves the New Living Translation, but today I'm going to be working out of the New King James, which is a little odd for me, but I do like this translation. But there's a particular verse that I wanted to use this translation for, so we're gonna look about that a little bit later. But to start off, I want you to think back in your lives to when you can first remember anything about fasting. You know, fasting, it's something it's in our culture. You see it around. I mean, when I was a young kid growing up, I know I learned about fasting because I can remember a time, like I've mentioned before, we went down to see my Uncle Marvin, and we were on vacation there in Southern California, and he suggested we spend the day fasting. And I remember thinking, this guy is crazy. Absolutely nuts. So I knew fasting, it meant to just give up food for a while, you know, and I was not interested in that idea. And, you know, I would see, you know, watching the news, I would see these people that would go on hunger strikes, maybe if they were in prison, and I would just think, oh, that's stupid. Why? I mean, you're already in prison. Why, if food's bad enough, why starve yourself to death? But, you know, people would do these things, and you would just see it around. But as I thought through my memories, the very first thing I could clearly remember was learning about fasting in Enterprise grade school. Now, you might think that's a little odd. And it was a little odd, I'll be honest. I actually didn't learn about it from one of my teachers. It was something that I learned going to the cafeteria. Now, the food was really not that good, but that's not what I'm going to get at here. I learned this thing, this curious thing would happen. I don't remember why, but that was back in the days when we went to school 5 days a week. It's kind of a novel concept nowadays, but we would literally go to school every day, Monday through Friday. And at a certain time of the year, I don't remember if this was all year, I don't think it was, but I know during Lent, this curious thing would happen on Fridays in the Enterprise cafeteria. They would switch up our menu a little bit, and all of a sudden, these fish sticks would arrive. And I really liked the fish sticks. You know, they were these kind of pie-shaped things, and they were really pretty good. Actually, for Enterprise standards, it was pretty good food. And I remember asking about this. I don't remember who told me. I don't know if it was my parents or I learned it from other kids, but they go, you know, this is something that Catholics do during Lent. They don't eat meat on Fridays. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, compared to being a Protestant, this is a pretty good idea. I could still eat food, just maybe give up meat for part of a day or something. That sounded pretty intriguing. And I was kind of liking this concept of partial fasting until the next Friday would come along, because our cooks, it only seemed like they knew how to make two non-meat dishes. One was fish sticks, and the other was tuna on a biscuit. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had tuna on a biscuit, but this has ruined my life. To this day, I cannot eat tuna casseroles. Tuna, anything with tuna in it. I mean, if any of you brought something with tuna in it today, I'm sorry. But it just brings up this terrible memory of tuna on a biscuit. And by the time I got through school, not only could I not eat tuna on a biscuit, I couldn't eat pickled beets, buttered beets, and spinach out of a can. But that's for another time. And I also swore off, you know what, this Catholic thing, they don't got it quite all figured out. So I kind of, you know, this fasting thing, maybe I just need to hold off on it. And that's kind of where I was at in my life for a long time. I'm not sure about fasting. And I found this quote for you all today. It's from Thomas A. Terence. He says, "Judging upon recent research and anecdotal evidence, it appears that very few professing Christians in America think fasting has a place in the Christian life." And I think that's probably the case for a lot of us here today. You know, it's something we talk about, maybe we think about, but how often do we really practice fasting? And I think it's funny, you know, it came up in our communion meditation that John had today. You know, Americans, we love to think about food, like we even have a potluck today, right? And that's where Thomas finishes off this quote, and I love it. "Available evidence shows that we much prefer feasting," right? So much so that we might get a speeding ticket on our way to eat those mashed potatoes and gravy, right? Yeah, who would ever get a speeding ticket on their way to a fast? I've never heard of anybody getting a speeding ticket on their way to fasting. I don't know. Maybe somebody here knows about that. But no, this is a topic that we need to talk about. And I'll be the first to admit, my ideas on fasting have definitely changed as I've gotten older. So let's look in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Let's see what Jesus has to say here. Jesus says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." You know, this is such an interesting little passage here. You know, Jesus, right off the bat, I noticed these three words, "when you fast." You know, there's no commandment, absolutely no commandment, that we as Christians are given that we have to fast. The Jews had one day a year where they had to fast, the Day of Atonement. But we were not given a commandment to fast. But it's very obvious Jesus is expecting that we will do it, because he says, "when you fast." When you fast. We need to think about that. There is a reason to be doing it, and Jesus expects us to be doing it. And in fact, we find here in the New Testament, there's all kinds of verses I could have picked out, but I chose this one out of Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. And Luke writes, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." So we see here, this is a church in Antioch, fasting. I want to call attention to these first words, "ministered to the Lord and fasted." Many of your translations might say worshiped. Worshiped the Lord and fasted. Whereas today we're going to be here in worship and then we're going to go to feasting. I don't know. Maybe we're getting this all wrong. But ministered to the Lord and fasted. And then we see them doing this other thing. They were fasting and praying. Prayer and fasting almost always seem to go together. They are intrinsically tied. There is a reason to do it. It helps get us into the mind and to calm down, to relax, and just think more clearly about what we are praying about. If we are fasting, taking some time away from doing something. And I like how this goes. When we look at Matthew 6:16, there is the Greek word here, and I'm not going to try to butcher it by telling you how to pronounce this in Greek, but I do like it. The Greek word, the word origin is nestis, meaning fasting or not eating. I mean, that is clearly what the New Testament is talking about. So what is this idea of fast? What all does it entail? Well, we see clearly delineated in Scripture several different types of fasting. The first we're going to talk about is a partial fast. All right? Many times this is called the Daniel fast. Now, this is kind of getting back to my thing that I was talking about that I learned in school, where the Catholics wouldn't eat meat on Fridays. Okay, you're going to restrict certain foods or meals. And we find this in the book of Daniel, okay, chapter 1, verse 12, and chapter 10, verse 3. Where Daniel doesn't eat certain foods. And you know, this is a great type of fasting. And it's one that if you're really into Lent, and it's probably one that you've practiced. I know I personally have practiced this a lot during Lent. I love a partial fast. Just, you know, like maybe everyone here knows I love ice cream. I like a lot of ice cream. I remember Pastor Dave would talk about this gentleman. You would go to his house there in Dayton, and the guy like gave him a whole half a gallon of ice cream to eat with lunch or something. I don't know. And I could be that. I could be that guy. I could eat a whole half a gallon of ice cream at one sitting. It's no problem. Trust me. But if I give up ice cream for Lent and I'm sitting there thinking about, man, I'm not getting my ice cream, I do notice that it's a good time to reflect on what Jesus did for me on a cross. And to pray. So yeah, I do. I like the idea of a partial fast. Then we get to what we mostly would consider fasting. I will just call this regular fasting. This is refraining from all food, but not clear liquid. So you can still drink something. You know, when our young kids, they like to do this 30-hour famine. They will not eat for 30 hours, but they'll drink water or maybe some broth or something. And that's what we're talking about here. And this is what you usually see a lot of in Scripture. You know, I've got just Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 up here. This was Jesus when he was out in the wilderness for 40 days fasting. And that's about as long as you can go without eating food. That's getting up there. That's some pretty good fasting going on. But there's other examples of this in Scripture. That leads us to absolute fasting. Now, this is getting pretty extreme. But there are people that do this. And this is refraining from all food and all liquids. Now, we do find some examples of this in Scripture. We see Esther chapter 4, verse 16 here. This is where the Israelites were in Persia, and they had just been, remember the story with Haman, and he had gotten the king to sign off on a day where anybody could do whatever they want, kill any Jewish person, take all their property, and nothing would happen to them. And in response to that, Esther, being the queen, asked everyone, all the Jews around her, everyone that would, to do an absolute fast for 3 days, that she prepared to go to the king and ask that this law be removed. We also see this here in Acts 9, verse 9, where Paul, right after his vision from heaven, he is taken, all that light, he was hit on the road to Damascus, he was taken on into Damascus, and for 3 days he did not eat or drink as he was reflecting, trying to figure out his life. I mean, he realized his life was messed up and he was headed the wrong direction. So he did some absolute fasting. And we can see this being used in times of great trial where we really need to get humble and contrite to ask God for something. And you know, I think of, there's possibly another type of fast. You know, this is what we think of. We think of food. But there is one more type of fasting that is brought about in Scripture. And we find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And if you notice the little headline above this section of Scripture, it talks about like principles in marriage or something. And yes, Paul is talking about marriage in this section and how couples are to be working with each other in that relationship. But he gives this interesting little remark here. He says, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." And this is the verse that is the reason I chose the New King James Version today. Now, all the rest of you, I'm sure most of you, probably have some different versions that might read more something like this. You know, I've got this thing up here where it says that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. But let's look at, like, the ESV says that you may devote yourselves to prayer. You notice the word fasting is not listed there. We've got the New Living, so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. And I find the New King James, and the King James reads the same way, they stick this word fasting in there. And you know, we live in a wonderful age. You know, 500 years ago, none of us could just go back and find the Greek and look at this. But you know, any of you right now, all of us can go on to like BibleHub.com and you can pull up and look at the actual Greek words and why the translators come up with what they want in this section. And you know, I'll be honest, I kind of think the New King James and the King James, they kind of mess it up here a little bit. You know, the words devote or completely probably are a little more accurate because the Greek word there actually means like leisure or free time. You're giving yourself, the couple is going to give up sex for a little bit of while so that they can have more free time to devote themselves to prayer. And this is, and maybe this is what the folks that translate the King James and New King James were thinking about, is that is actually a fast. You are fasting. You're giving up something. And that leads us to our last type of fasting that I have listed today. I called it activity fasting. And this is refraining from activities that you like. Now, this is critical. It needs to be activities that you like. You know, if I went to my wife and said, you know what, I'm just not going to clean the shower anymore. I really don't like cleaning the shower. I'm going to fast from that and give it to the Lord and do some praying while I should be cleaning the shower. Now, I'm sure my wife would not be very appreciative of that, and I would probably hear something, right? And I'm sure any of you would do that. Maybe your job is to go mow the lawn or clean up something, do something, but you just don't like doing it, but it's a job you have to do. That's not an activity that you should be fasting from. You know, we need to think about things that we are doing that we love to do, that we carve out extra time to go do that activity. Maybe we are really into hunting and fishing. Maybe we need to knock off a hunt or a fish for a day so that we can spend a little more time in prayer. Maybe we love to play video games. You know, I hear about these teenagers. They love to play video. Maybe they're just going to play Fortnite forever. But I got no time to pray. I'm too busy playing Fortnite. Maybe there's an issue there, right? Maybe that is an activity you could take a break from and spend a little bit of time reflecting on God and praying. So yes, and in fact, I think in the world we now live in, this is becoming a very important way to fast, because unlike the people in Jesus' time, they didn't have a lot of free time on their hands. They weren't playing Fortnite. They weren't out going on vacations all the time unless they were just extremely wealthy. So yeah, fasting had a little different approach for them, and it should for us. So let's think about this fasting stuff. Jesus gives us some things that we need to be thinking about here in these verses. Okay, so in verse 16, I've got the words sad countenance and disfigure highlighted. You know, he says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. There is a wrong way to fast, and this is very obvious. This brings us to our first point of the day, having the wrong motives. These guys were hypocrites because they were doing it to impress other people instead of trying to get to God and be contrite and do the right thing by God. We can have the wrong motives. We can be doing it just like the hypocrites. Or I've heard people say, you know, I need to go on a fast. I need to lose some weight. That's not the right reason to be on a fast. I guess it could be a side benefit, but if that's your primary reason for going on a fast, it is the wrong motive, and we need to avoid that. So we definitely, there are some wrong ways about going about fasting. But you know, Jesus doesn't stop there. He gives us some right things to be doing. So let's look at verses 17 through 18, where he says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Now you might be thinking, this is a little odd. I'm supposed to just dump a bunch of olive oil on my head and wash my face and wander outside? I mean, people are going to think I'm greasy or have, you know, hair issues or something, right? Well, this would be akin to, you know, take a shower, put on some good clothes. You know, if you do smell a little bad, put some perfume on, do something, just clean yourself up, right? Don't try to draw attention to yourself by the way that you are looking, okay? That is the wrong thing to be doing here. So I've got this little thing I came up with. It says, look great, not shabby, right? Go Look good. Look like you. I mean, you're all looking pretty good here today. That's what you need to be looking at. You could all be on a fast here today. I'd have no idea, right? You're not drawing attention to yourself. All right? But if we continue on, he's got another interesting thing. We see this word secret pop up two times. Your father who is in the secret place and your father who sees in secret. Yeah, we've got the word secret highlighted here, and this leads us to my last of these points here today. Keep your fast secret. Now you're telling me, Kevin, I love to tell everybody if I'm fasting. You know what? I've seen people, I don't have Facebook, but my wife will point out things to me that's on Facebook. And sometimes these people will be talking, oh man, I did this, I'm fasting from this for Lent, or I'm doing this, or I'm up to this. You know, that we're kind of getting back to the wrong motives. If this is a personal fast between you and God, we're not supposed to just broadcast it out to the whole world. There is a time for a not-so-secret fast. Maybe that's when we have a corporate fast. Maybe we as the elders come to you as the church body and say, hey, we're thinking about doing something. We need help making this decision. Can you all pray and fast about that? And that would be a time where we could all be talking about how we're going to fast and what we're going to do. That is an appropriate time. But if this is something between you and God, and you're trying to straighten out something in your relationship with God, this isn't something you're just bragging about to all your friends, what you're doing for your fast. And even at that point, there is a time. I can remember I was on a fast a couple of years ago during Lent, and like I mentioned, I had given up ice cream and cookies and sweets and stuff. And we had gone to a basketball game down at Gill Coliseum. And we left that, and everybody that we were with decided they wanted to go to Cold Stone Creamery. Now, if you're on an ice cream and cookie fast, is Cold Stone Creamery a great place to go? No, it was kind of a bummer, but you know, actually, I was kind of excited about that. I thought, you know what, this is a testing of my fast. But you know, we got to Cold Stone, and pretty soon I said, hey, you know what, you guys go order, I'm just going to sit here at a table and wait. And they go, well, what's wrong with you, Kevin? You're like the ice cream fanatic of the world. I said, well, I have to be honest, I gave that up for Lent, okay? So I didn't want to just lie, I did need to explain why I was acting weird for that day, right? So there is a time when you do need to tell people, but just broadcasting it out, that's not what Jesus is wanting us to do. So you're saying, this is all fun, Kevin. This has been great. I've learned all about fasting, but, you know, it's not commanded. You're telling me, so what? What's the point? I don't understand. Jesus says we don't have to fast. The Jews only fasted once a year. Well, I think I've got some other good reasons that come out of Scripture. We're going to start with some ideas that this can help us with our spiritual growth. How many of us here need to grow spiritually? Well, pretty much everybody here is pretty much honest. You know, every single one of us needs to grow spiritually. And fasting is a great way to do that. So let's look at a couple ideas here. Fasting is a tool for finding God's will or guidance in our lives. And you say, well, you know, I can just pray about it. And you say, yeah, you can just pray about it. I'll be honest, I'm really good. You know, I don't really need to fast. I can just pray about it. But you know, if we just pray about it, we have a tendency to just do that. Maybe just pray once about it, maybe pray twice about it. But you know, if you're giving up a meal, maybe you're giving up those cookies, or maybe you're giving up mashed potatoes and gravy. You know, when you're not eating those mashed potatoes and gravy, it does give you some time to think back. And you know what? I need to remember to ask God for more guidance in this area. We all do. And fasting helps us to focus in on that, because we do. We get busy and we just don't do it. How about the next one? creating a deeper relationship with God by showing repentance and humility. Every one of us needs to be more repentant and humble. This gets back a little bit to Sean's sermon last week. Is there some forgiveness that we're not thinking about that we need to ask somebody else? We need to repent maybe of forgiveness in our own lives. If we're not quiet, if we're not relaxed and stepping back from the busy places of pace of our lives, we could be missing something that we need to be thinking about. So this spiritual growth, it's so important. And I have found one of those times when I had given up ice cream. You can tell ice cream is a continuing thought process in my mind. I can remember one of those years when my daughters were really little, I would dish them up some ice cream before they had their snack. And you know that I had given it up, but the temptation was so real. I could feel Satan telling me, just take one little nibble while you're getting your daughter's ice cream, because I like to do that. Nobody else here nibbles when they get ice cream, right? But anyway, I do. So I was, you know, I would, and I remember how strong that was when I first started that fast of stopping ice cream. It was really strong. And then it kind of went away for a period of time, which I always found so interesting. And then as I was getting really close to Easter, when I was going to break that fast, that temptation came back so strong once again. And I can tell you, that tells you how great fasting is, because Satan doesn't want us doing it. If Satan wanted you doing it, he wouldn't be attacking you on it. So yeah, this is a great time to deepen that relationship with God, find guidance, and help keep Satan at bay. But you know, it has some other great things. There's some physical and emotional benefits to fasting. How about it teaches discipline and self-control? How many of us need more discipline and self-control in our lives? I know I do. I still have a hard time eating too much ice cream, and I still work on this idea. We all need discipline. And if we learned how to fast, I don't care if we're fasting from food, we're fasting from playing Fortnite, we're fasting from being on Facebook too much, we develop discipline if we work with God on that. And we develop self-control. Those are great things that we all need more of. But it doesn't stop there. How about mental clarity? Can you get mental clarity? I know something, I don't do this very often, but occasionally, you know, in the summer we change pipe on the farm. And I can remember a couple of times, there's this one particular wheel line that it goes down off of into a little draw, and it takes a little while for it to drain. And you don't want to move wheel lines with water in them because they'll break. So you have to drain the line. And you know, some days I've learned that, you know, I could walk all the way down there, I could open up the thing and drain it and walk back. But there's a particular place where this wheel line does that it takes me just as long to walk down there and do that as it does for me to just sit and wait. And I've learned that, you know, if I sit and wait, I can just sit here and pray as I lean up against this wheel line for a few minutes. And you know, sometimes it's just as simple as that, just stopping from doing something and just reflecting. And boy, the mental clarity that can come from that. You just stop from what you're doing. And I've got one more. You know, there are potential health benefits to this fasting idea. Now, we're not supposed to be doing it for this reason, remember? But there are potential health benefits. And I could get into these, but we don't have that kind of time, and I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV or anything. But I got the help of a real doctor. Dr. Kane gave us a little link that should be on the website today. If you look for my sermon, there should be a little link that takes you to a spot that gives you some health benefits. And potentially, you know, some of us have health conditions that might preclude us from doing fasting from food or something. Maybe that means we need to focus on fasting a different way, But there are some health things that you need to look at. So if you've got some concerns, you can go and look at that. If you still have concerns, I would ask that you, talk to a friendly doctor about that. But yes, there can be health benefits. There are benefits to fasting and staying away from food, or maybe just the mental ideas behind things from just taking it easy and reflecting. Well, I've got a challenge for you this week. Sometime between now and Easter, if you're not already fasting, I would ask you to take on a fast. Now, maybe you give up something, which is real common during Lent, give up a type of food. Maybe you've already given up something for Lent. I would challenge you to try something different too. But try a fast of something between now and Easter. And you're telling me, well, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to fast or think about. Well, I've got a quote here, a gentleman named Harrison Perkins. And he says, in our age that is filled with countless distractions, perhaps it is worth thinking about what most pulls us away from focused repentance and worship. It is worth making sure that we are ready to set aside and deprive ourselves of the things that may leave us complicit in our sin, distract us from prayer, or leave us less than ideally prepared for worshiping our God. Is there something today that you can think about that is doing that in your life, that's making us complicit in our sin? Maybe it's distracting us from prayer. Maybe we're not prepared to worship. Maybe we're sitting in here looking at our smartphone instead of listening to this wonderful sermon today. What is it that is distracting you? That's not allowing you to live your Christian life to its fullest? Maybe you should be considering fasting from that. That brings us to these four things again. Find something in there that you can do that can help you with that area in your life. I know you can do it. So, as we finish up this series on prayer, you know, I invite you to stay in touch with us, with your prayer needs. You know, I've had a lot of people, I don't know what it's been in the last few, maybe it's this thing on prayer, people have been coming up to me saying, man, I need to know how to put in prayer requests or whatever. We have a great website. You can go right to the website. Right on the front page, it tells you how to get your prayer request in, and you can do it that way. We have these wonderful Connect cards. They're sitting right in front of you somewhere down low. You can fill these out. You know, this is a great way to get in touch with us for any reason. But you can put prayer requests on the back, too. You can fold them up, stick them in the offering boxes in the back, or give them to one of the elders, or to Darren, or Sean. Please, you know, we want and covet to know what your prayer needs are so that we can be there with you on that journey. And if today, if you want to come up after we get done and we're singing the last song, if you want to come up, I can pray with you. We can talk about fasting. Whatever it is, we're here. And you know what you're saying? You know, Kevin, this prayer thing, this forgiveness, this fasting, you know, I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. And you know what? I have got great news for you, because next week we're starting a new series. No more of this prayer fasting talk. We're going to be doing Rock Solid. And have you ever heard about building your house on the sand or building your house on the rock? I don't know. I think it's got something to do with that maybe. But come back next week. All right, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that it is a challenge to fast, to slow down and to reflect and think about everything that you have done for us. And we just pray that you will help us to learn where to fast in our lives and to how to be humble and to think about you, Lord, and not all about ourselves, and how that we can do that with your help. And we are basically powerless on our own. We need your help, Lord. And we know that fasting can help us get to that point in our lives. And we just ask that you will give us the ability to fast, give us the ability to look past our own selfish desires and wants and needs and to focus on you and what your son Jesus did for us on a cross, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.